We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The Bible says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There must be a change.
If you need to do some remodeling in your home, where do you look for possible contractors? In the Yellow Pages? On the web? And after you find them, how can you be sure you'll get the finished product you want? Welcome to the Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. The human heart is much like a house that needs repairs. And believe it or not, the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of your heart, asking permission to make these changes for you. So how can you be sure about the results of what he wants to do? Pastor J.D. will explain why we should be confident about this remodeling process as he shares the message, God's work in us.
I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. You know, some of you may be at a place in your walk where you find yourself discouraged about your own spiritual walk. You feel that maybe you have not progressed as you should, or that there's areas of your life that you feel like, I just don't measure up to what I feel like a Christian should be. And it's interesting how we become discouraged at those times, and we begin to lament, and we begin to feel guilty about our own state and where we're at in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And many times we can become discouraged. I believe that this morning's passage should be an encouragement to each of us, to all of us, as we discover that God's work is in us. He will continue to work in us, and his work is guaranteed. God's going to continue the work regardless that you may be in a place where you feel like you have fallen or you have not measured up. This morning I pray and I hope that you will be encouraged by this passage as we talk about God's work in us. In one word, that word would be called sanctification. The Bible calls this sanctification. It's one of the oldest concepts in Scripture. As far back as Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, God sanctified the seventh day. He set it apart as a day of rest from his creative work. Verse 3 of chapter 2, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God has created and made. And that's really what sanctification is for the believer too. It's we rest in the work of God. We rest from our own work. It is not up to us. It's the work of God. Sanctification means to consecrate, to set apart, to dedicate or to hallow. That which God sanctifies is that which God sets apart. You may recall the old hymn which says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, unto thee. At the exodus from Egypt, God sanctified, or you might say he set apart, the firstborn of his people and their animals for his use. For it says there in Exodus, it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of the man and beast, it is mine. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Exodus 19, chapter 5. Pardon me, Exodus 19, verse 5. Mount Sinai, Exodus 19:23, a few days later, God sanctified Mount Sinai and forbid the Israelites from coming too near to it. For he said, but Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds about the mountain and consecrate it, sanctify it, set it apart. Aaron and his sons were sanctified. In the wilderness, God sanctified them under priestly service. The tabernacle and its vessels were subsequently sanctified for God's sacred purposes. Later, God sanctified the temple in Jerusalem. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 16, we read, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. And then, of course, we come into the New Testament and we discover how God sanctified John the Baptist as the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And then God sanctified, set apart the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to be the Redeemer, to take away the sins of the world. The 12 apostles were sanctified. They were set apart from the others. And now Paul, here at the end of this letter to the Thessalonians, he closes with this very beautiful and appropriate benediction, whereby he prays that God will sanctify the church at Thessalonica. In other words, that you may be set apart from God, for God, that you may be set apart from the world, that you may be dedicated to the use of God. That's what sanctification is, a holy people being conformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And I'd like for us to look, we're going to discover that sanctification has three basic elements. There's a past element of sanctification, there's a present element, and then there's the future. The first element of sanctification takes place the moment that you were born of the Spirit of God. The moment you committed your life to Jesus Christ, God set you apart for His purpose. He sanctified you. He has drawn you out of the world. You belong to Him. The Bible says that you've been purchased with a price. You belong to God. Sometimes we call this positional or relational sanctification, and it takes place at the very moment of conversion. Now, how does this happen? Well, the writer of Hebrews declared, he said, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. It is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross that affects sanctification in the life of the believer and separates us from this world. 1 Peter 2:9, Peter writes, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Would you agree with me that before you were walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, you were in darkness? The Bible says that you were of the kingdom of darkness. You walked in darkness. You thought your imaginations maybe were continually of evil things. And the Bible calls sin darkness. On the other hand, God refers to Himself as light. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, Jesus Christ declared. And so when we come to Jesus Christ, we're coming to the light. We come to the kingdom of light. God separates us into His kingdom of light. And then we follow Him and we no longer walk in darkness. And this is the sanctification that takes place at the moment that we believe. We are translated from the world of darkness, from the kingdom of darkness, the Bible says, into the wonderful and beautiful kingdom of light. Now, when we talk about sanctification, separation unto God, we're also referring to that continuing work that God does within us. Now, when God is working within us, He doesn't just do an overhaul on the old man. It's not a makeover. It's something new. The Bible says that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So we discover that God starts out with a new man, a new creation in Christ Jesus, and it's a completely, radically changed man. For we discover that God takes away the sin of man. We find that he doesn't take away the desire for sin. He doesn't completely deliver us from sinning. But positionally, when we're talking about positional sanctification, what we're talking about is God giving or imputing righteousness unto us who are in Christ Jesus, so that positionally we stand before God as being righteous. Now, this is very difficult for many people to understand today. Because you see, most people that think of religion, they think of man's effort somehow to become good enough so that we may be attainable unto heaven. Or that God will look favorably upon us if we're only good enough. First of all, positionally, because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took our sins and essentially we received his righteousness. And we stand positionally, not practically, not in practice, but positionally, God looks at each one of us as being righteous and clean and pure. And so we find that sanctification is in the past. At the moment we believe, God sees us as sanctified. There's a future sanctification, though. One day we will be completely sanctified, not only in position, but in practice, not only in spirit, but bodily. For Paul, writing the Philippians, he declared, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." 1 John 3:2, John writes, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The Bible says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There must be a change. There must be that aspect of future sanctification at the moment, at the appearing of Jesus Christ, when the Bible says that in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed, each one of us who are trusting in Jesus Christ. That future sanctification. But there is a present sense of sanctification, and that is what I believe that Paul is referring to here now, this present aspect of sanctification. It's God's ongoing work in our lives. Now, we have been sanctified in Christ. In other words, positionally, we stand righteous before God. But now in practice, practically speaking, God wants to do a work in each one of us. God wants to do a work in each one of us. The Puritan Thomas Watson, he put it this way. He said, "Sanctification is a principle of grace savingly wrought, whereby the heart becomes holy and is made after God's own heart. A sanctified person bears not only God's name, but his image." We learn that sanctification is the work of God in the life of the believer as he gives to us the very mind of Christ. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not out only for his own interests, but also the interests of others," Paul writes to the Philippians. And then he follows up with, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." And so that's really the present work of sanctification, is conforming us. He's set us apart. He's brought us out of the world. And now he wants to make us more Christ-like. He wants to give us the mind of Christ Jesus. So first of all, we're going to look at the work of God in sanctification. Notice with me that it is God's work. "Now may the God of peace sanctify you," Paul writes. When I was at a restaurant with my wife this past week, it was one of those small, quaint little places where you're in these little rooms and there's maybe three or four tables around that single room. Well, you can't help when you're in a room like that to hear the conversation of those that are going on around you. And there was this table right behind us, and I heard them talking about one of their buddies that apparently used to go out and party with them. And this one fella says to the other, he says, "You know, he became born again." This is all I heard, is he became born again and he doesn't go out and drink with us anymore. And the other said, "Whoa, that's too bad." You know, in my heart, I was rejoicing. I was thinking, praise God that right now, as those guys are sitting there, they're still going out and they're enslaved, they're drinking and they're partying. There's one of their buddies that has been freed up and is no longer a slave to alcohol, to partying. And the question I might ask you is, did he have to go like on a 12-step program or anything like that to be delivered? Did he make a conscious effort to be delivered from alcohol, or did God, in redeeming him, not only redeem him from sin, but as the Bible says, redeemed him from the power of sin over him? You see, that's the present work of sanctification. When we're talking about taking on the mind of Christ Jesus, we're not talking about self-improvement. We're talking about God taking over within the life of the believer and delivering us from the power of sin as we seek to be obedient to him. Many people are confused about God's part and our part. Is it all God, or is it all man, or is it somewhere in between? Well, I believe that the Bible teaches us that it is God who is at work in us as we step out in obedience to follow his commands. In other words, yes, he does give us commands. He gives us things. He gives us direction. He gives us a path to follow in obedience. But when we step on that path and as we walk down that path, he empowers us and he brings us along. I'd like for you to turn back with me just one chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to see here for a moment sanctification at work. That it is both God at work and it is man's effort as well. Notice with me, Paul says here in verse 1, he said, "Finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how we ought to walk and to please God." So here he says in verse 1, he says, listen, you're to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. The Bible says that we've been created for his pleasure. All things have been created for his pleasure. We are to walk in a way that is pleasing to God. Verse 2, "For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus." Okay, commandments have been given. Number 3, verse 3, "For this is the will of God." Notice what he says, "your sanctification." It is the will of God, your sanctification. And he goes on to say that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. Notice verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." You can go back now to chapter 5. There's a passage in Philippians chapter 2:12, which I believe gives a great balance to man's work and God's work in sanctification. It's a verse that is often misused by the cults to lead people to believe that it is all man's work, leading you down the path of legalism. And it's in Philippians 2:12 where Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, those of you who have dealt with the cults, you know that this is a favorite verse. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, they're saying, salvation is your work. It's up to you. You've got to save yourself. And I find that this is very appealing to the world. Appealing message. Save yourself. Work it out. Work it up. But then Paul goes on to say, as if he knew that there would be confusion, he reveals the second part of this verse. Verse 13, he adds, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." So we discover here that sanctification is about becoming pleasing unto the Lord, about becoming holy unto him, a holy people, a people who are set apart, who are no longer walking in the ways of the world. And yet we discover within that, that God's plan for us is that we should walk pure, But he's going to work within us and enable us, and it is by his power that he will bring us to that place where we are to walk obediently unto him. It's his power, it is his work. So we discover that sanctification is indeed, it is the work of man, walking obediently unto the Lord, working out our salvation, but it is God who both wills and works within our lives, enabling us to do. It is the work of God. Number two is that it is the complete work of God. What does Paul write here? He says that you may be sanctified completely, verse 23. Completely. What does that mean? Well, it means with integrity, totally, undamaged. In other words, it's going to be a complete job. God's not going to leave halfway done on the project. We discover through this that God has a plan for each one of us, and that is complete sanctification. I find, I don't know about you, but sometimes we are discouraged along the way. Do you get to that place in the along the path and you feel discouraged and you feel like, well, you know, I'm not very happy where I'm at right now. I don't like what I'm doing. This sin, this temptation, this lust, or this attitude is something that I thought was, you know, was dealt with. And we discover that we're still struggling in many of those same old areas. The good news is that our Lord is faithful to complete this work. He says that he will sanctify you completely. That was Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians. I believe when you look back in chapter 4, and Paul goes down this list, there were those who must have felt guilty, frustrated, discouraged. And here Paul reminds them in this prayer, that this beautiful benediction, that the work of God will be complete. You see, the Bible says that God knows our frame and he knows that we are but dust. He knows that we are prone to failure. He knows that we are prone to frustration. God never gives up. Number three is, not only is it the work of God, it's a complete work of God, but it's a guaranteed work of God. Verse 24, chapter 5. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Now, I like this because around our home, when I start a project, there's no guarantee that it will get done. We live in a house right now where there are many, many projects, and there are some that are halfway completed. I hope to get them done, but I can tell you there's no guarantee that I will get that project done. And some of the wives are probably going, amen. But when it comes to sanctification, God's work in us, it's a guaranteed work, because you see, it's not about our faithfulness. It's not dependent upon us. The Bible here says that it is all about the faithfulness of God. It's his work in you. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, the Bible says. It's his work in you. You might consider yourself his project. And the Bible says here that he is faithful. God is faithful, who also will do it. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I like that verse in Philippians 1:6, which says, he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God's work in you, God's sanctifying process. Past, the moment you believed. Future, and what he's going to do, how he's going to deliver you faultless before the Father. And the present, which is the ongoing work in which he works in you now.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. That's calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of The Voice of Truth.